Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to begin with a topic that is going to be very brief, although it very well could be a longer presentation. We don't have a book for this particular topic, not in Arabic or in English. As far as I know, there is no book. But I have some notes that I actually transcribed from a lecture by the Sheikh, audio lecture, some time ago, maybe 15 years ago. I just wrote it out by hand, and my handwritten notes are not readable, so I'm not going to give them to anybody. But as far as I know, the Sheikh, he didn't produce a book, nor did anybody translate anything. But anyway, inshallah, we'll do the best we can with what we have. I'll try to make some notes as time in the next week or two before Ramadan. I'll try to make some notes of some of the quotations that he makes, in case somebody would like to have something to refer to. Naam. The topic that we're going to be reading from, it is entitled, the Sheikh, he entitled it, Itba'u al-ilm bil-amal. Following knowledge with action. The importance, the necessity, the need of following up knowledge with action. By Sheikh Abdus Salam Ibn Burgess Ali Abdul Karim, rahimahullah. I'm going to start by reading a few quotations from a biography that was compiled about the Sheikh. I sent this biography, I think it's 5 or 6 pages long. I sent it out by email to the class. And I'm just going to read a few quotations from it, just so that anyone who is not familiar with the Sheikh, at least they have some idea, who we are reading from. So, and it is mentioned, like I said, the biography is 5 or 6 pages long. I'm just going to read a few quotations from the biography to familiarize those of us who might not be familiar with him. He is Abu Abdurrahman Abdus Salam Ibn Burgess Ibn Nasir Ali Abdul Karim. He was born in the city of Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, in the year 1387. In the year 1387, which is somewhere around 1967. It is said that he memorized the Quran and began seeking knowledge, other than the Quran, at the age of 13. And this is a reminder to us that if we have children that are very young, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, we shouldn't consider them as babies that don't need to be encouraged or facilitated to learning. Rather, our children should be learning at the earliest age possible. He began to pursue knowledge seriously after memorizing the Quran at the age of 13. And the Sheikh, rahimahullah, he didn't live a long life. And perhaps when he died, he was younger than some of you are now. Many of you probably. Not the children here. He memorized the Quran and began seeking knowledge at the age of 13. This is also a reminder that knowledge begins with the memorization of the Quran. Knowledge begins with the memorization of the Quran. From amongst the scholars that he studied with, of great distinction is the Imam of our era, Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah, and also the Imam of our era, Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and a number of other scholars. And we have mentioned several scholars that he spent time with, and they are the most distinguished of them. It is said also that his secondary education was at Al-Mahad Al-Ilmi, yani, which is the Institute for yani, scholastic learning, yani, for religious studies. Not only do they study yani, the sciences of Quran, of Islam, but they also study the regular yani, high school subjects of math and science and things like that. But they specialize in this. This is in a school system in Saudi Arabia that is, at least in the past, was of the yani, highest level in its distinction of yani, offering the best type of education for a Muslim that was available at that time. After graduating from Mahad al-Ilmi, he proceeded to enter the University of Muhammad ibn Saud, the College of Sharia, from which he graduated in the year 1410. After this, he was appointed as a teacher in another Mahad al-Ilmi in a different town outside of Riyadh. And later, he wanted to pursue his higher studies, so he studied in the Mahad al-Ali lil-Qadha, yani the higher institute for judicial, yani for training judges, actually, for training judges, where he completed his master's degree, after which he was appointed as a judge in the ministry, yani. And he also pursued, yani, he also held other posts, after which he finally completed his doctorate degree in the year 1422 under the supervision of the Mufti of Saudi Arabia, Sheikh Abdulaziz Ali Sheikh, yani the present Mufti, hafizahullah. After this, he was appointed as an assistant professor, a position which he held until he passed away. May Allah have mercy upon him. Also, it is said, yani, in brief, some of the points that they mentioned, and I think that it is a good reminder to all of us that he was a person of knowledge, but he was also a person of character. It is said that he had good manners, and he was humble, he was gentle, he was cheerful, he was kind, yani, with his parents, with his teachers, with his family members, with his, yani, the people who were around him, with everyone. And this is important for us, yani, to remember that, yani, being a person from the people of Sunnah not only requires worship and learning, but it also requires good character. Then there's mention of a number of books and writings, lots of books that he wrote, and also other books that he did tahqiq for, that is, yani, he examined those books, checking and verifying, yani, the correctness of what it contained and their sources and things like this. The last thing that I want to mention concerning him is what has been said, yani, it has been mentioned that, he died in the year 1425, and he was born in the year 1387, and he died in the year 1425, which is approximately the year 2004, like 15 years ago. So if we look at his date of birth and death, we'll see that he died at the year of 37 or 38, something like this, when he was quite young man. And so, and it is of significance that it has been said about him by some of the people of knowledge that the level of his knowledge surpassed his age. And his level of knowledge was beyond the age of such a man that young. And it was also said that if he had lived long, he would have been an ayah, yani, a proof or a sign, yani, of yani, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of doing, yani, with a human being in the establishment of this deen. So the Shaykh, yani, he had a short life, but he wrote a lot of books, and he also verified and authenticated a number of books, and he gave yani, numerous lectures and participated in conferences and the like in the short life that he lived. Okay, so now getting to the point, the topic, and again, like, please excuse me, I'm reading from some handwritten notes, And at the time, I was listening to a recording, and I was trying to write at the same time. So, Yanni, it's even difficult for me to read what I wrote. Allahu Musta'an. And the Shaykh, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and asking for salat and salam upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he begins by saying, he opened his topic by saying, Sawfa natahaddathu insha'Allah an mawdu'in fi ghayat al-ahammiyah. And this is how he began the topic. I intend, or I am about to discuss, insha'Allah, a subject which is of the utmost importance. Of the utmost importance. This is what he said, rahimahullah. And he said that the topic that he's about to discuss is of the utmost importance. Fi ghayat al-ahammiyah. And therefore, yani, if he saw it like that, perhaps we should also look at this and consider. If this topic, if this subject is of the utmost importance, then we ought to give it our ear and show concern for it. And yani, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to accept what is going to be presented, and then to give us yani, the tawfiq to act upon it. He said, the subject is اتباعوا العلم بالعمل. اتباع العلم بالعمل. Yani causing the knowledge to be followed by action. Yani following knowledge with action. The people of Sunnah, I'm saying now, I'm going to like say some things yani, outside of what the Shaykh said. I'll try to make sure, distinguish my own any comments from the Shaykh. The people of Sunnah generally agree upon the importance of knowledge. And you find that the people who identify with Sunnah yani show a great concern and show diligence in seeking knowledge, in attending the gatherings of knowledge, and so on. So this is something that we pretty much already know, and we agree upon that the knowledge is important, but what he's saying here is the importance, rather the necessity of following knowledge with action, following up knowledge with action. This subject, he said, huwa mawdu' yani itba'u al-'ilm bil-'amal, yani following up knowledge with action. ذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنْ إِخْوَانِي يَعْرِفُونَ فَضْلَ الْعِلْمِ وَأَهَمِّيَتَهُ وَلَكِنْ عِنْدَمَا يَأْتِي دَوْرُ الْعَمَلِ Yani, many of my brothers, yani, meaning the people of Sunnah, they know the excellence, the virtue of knowledge and its importance. But when it comes to the role or the time or the turn of acting upon it, we find that the people fall back. They desist, they refrain, and their enthusiasm becomes weakened, becomes lessened. Wallahu musta'an. The Shaykh, he's addressing a group of people from the people of Sunnah. So, yani, these words are appropriate to be said to us. Inshallah, we are from the people of Sunnah. And we are the people who consider, yani, the value, the station, the status, the importance of the Sunnah. So it is, yani, befitting that these words be addressed to us. Many of my brothers, he said, they know the excellence, the virtue, the superiority of knowledge and its importance, when it comes to acting upon it, we find many of the people, yani, withdraw, refrain from acting upon it. And their enthusiasm is weakened. Wallahu musta'an. Allah alone is the one from whom we seek help. Then he says, O noble brothers, Yarhamukallah, Inna as-salaf as-salih, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, كان اهتمامهم الأكبر في اتباع العلم بالعمل. He said, indeed, the righteous predecessors, the Salaf al-Salih, may Allah be pleased with them, their greatest concern, their greatest care, يعني اهتمامهم الأكبر, the thing that they were most concerned about was following up knowledge with action. And it is due to this that they were able to achieve, yani, excelling above and surpassing the people in khair, in the matters of their deen and in the matters, in their worldly matters. And it is because of this. Because of what? Because of the care that they had and following up knowledge with action that they surpassed the rest of the people in the matters of khair, whether in the matters of the deen or in the worldly matters. وَقَدْ كَانُوا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ يَحْرِسُونَ عَلَى إِتْبَاعِ الْعِلْمِ بِالْعَمَلِ كَمَا يَحْرِسُونَ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ ابْتِدَاءً. Indeed, the Salaf, رضي الله عنهم, يعني meaning the Sahaba, رضي الله عنهم, and those who follow them from amongst the Tabi'un and the following generations, he said they were eager and they were diligent in following up knowledge with action in the same way as they were eager and diligent in seeking knowledge in the first place. Yani the same diligence that they had in seeking knowledge, they had the same diligence for acting upon it. There wasn't any difference. Unlike many of the people today, they are very diligent, eager. They aspire to seek knowledge, to attend yani circles of learning, to travel to other cities, to conferences, and all of this. Yani very diligent in seeking the knowledge, but when it comes to acting upon it, it's something different. But the Salaf, the same diligence they had in seeking the knowledge was the same diligence they had in acting upon it. وَلِهَذَا يَقُولُ أَبُو عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ السُّلَمِي رَحِمَهَا اللَّهُ. Here the Shaykh, he quotes a statement, and I want to read it from its source. It says, يقول أبو عبد الرحمن السلمي وهو ممن عرض القرآن على ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه. يعني أبو عبد الرحمن السلمي, he was one of those who يعني read to and learned the Quran from the companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he said, that is Abu Abd al-Rahman, he said, أَخَذْنَا الْقُرْآنَ عَنْ قَوْمٍ أَخْبَرُونَ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا تَعَلَّمُوا عَشْرَ آيَاتٍ لَمْ يُجَاوِزُوهُنَّ إِلَى الْعَشْرَ الْأُخْرَ حَتَّى يَتَعَلَّمُوا مَا فِيهِنَّ فَكُنَّا نَتَعَلَّمُوا الْقُرْآنَ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ. Yani he said that we took the Qur'an, yani we learned the Qur'an from a people who informed us. Who are the people who informed them that they learned the Qur'an from? Sahaba, radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Yani the likes of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, we have taken the Qur'an, we have learned the Qur'an from a people who informed us that they, whenever they learned 10 ayats of the Qur'an, they wouldn't go past it to the next 10, to another 10, until they learned what they contained, yani their meanings, the ahkam, the adab, yani what is in these ayat. They weren't hasty just to memorize so much until they first yani understood what they had memorized before they went to something else. They understood it, what it contained, its meanings, its legal rulings, the manners and etiquettes that are contained, the advices, the encouragements, the warnings, the prohibitions that are contained in those ayat, before they would go on to another 10 ayats. They wouldn't do so until they learned what they contained. فَكُنَّا نَتَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ. So we used to learn the Qur'an and acting upon it together at the same time. We used to learn the Qur'an and we used to learn how to act upon it. And there will come a people after us, yani who will, yani take the Qur'an, they will drink the Qur'an as people drink water and it wouldn't go beyond their collarbones. Yani, we see today people drinking the Qur'an the way they drink water. Yani, devouring the Qur'an. Yani, the words, the memorization, but no action. Just like drinking water. Doesn't have any effect. This was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in teaching his companions the Qur'an, and this was the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in in teaching their students the Qur'an. The Shaykh says, after mentioning this statement, he says, فَهَذَا هُوَ مَنْهَجُهُمْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُمْ. This was their methodology. This was their way. Yani the way of the Sahaba, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمِينَ. This was the way of the Tabi'un, رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Yani that they used to learn the Quran with the intent of understanding its meaning so that they may act upon it. هذا هو منهجهم رضي الله تعالى عنهم. ولما أنهم كانوا على هذه الطريقة وعلى هذه المسلك فقد أدركوا في العلم إدراكا قويا وتمكنوا منه تمكنا واضحا بينا. And because of this way that they sought knowledge, because of this manhaj, this way of seeking knowledge, this tariqah, path that they were upon, they were able to, yani, achieve, to obtain knowledge, and to master that knowledge in a way, yani, unlike what we see from the people today. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ. And the reason for this, yani, for the way in which they learned, yani, the success that they found in learning, yani, the reason for their success, وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ مَا جُعِلَ لِيَتَلَذَّذَ بِهِ النَّاسِ تَلَذُّذًا فَحَسْبُ وَلَا لِيَتَكَثَّرَ بِهِ تَكَثُّرًا فَحَسْبُ بَلْ إِنَّمَا شُرِعَ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ وشرع التعلم لأجل أن يطبعه الناس العمل العمل. نعم. يعني the reason for their success is because this knowledge, it wasn't made just to be enjoyed by the people and suffice with it. Like we hear something, we read something, we learn something, and we really enjoy it. And some of us, mashallah, we enjoy learning. But the intent is not, yani, seeking knowledge was not for the purpose of enjoyment, like riding a bicycle or playing a basketball game. That's not the intent. It wasn't made to be enjoyed, yani, just to enjoy it. That's the end of it. It wasn't made just to be accumulated, yani, to accumulate a lot of it and let that be sufficient. Well, some of us indeed, we enjoy seeking knowledge and we accumulate plenty of it, and then that's the end. Rather, this knowledge and the process of learning, seeking knowledge, has been legislated for the purpose of the people following up that knowledge with action. فَمَنْ أَتْبَعَ الْعِلْمَ بِالْعَمَلِ فَإِنَّهُ وَالْحَالِ هَذِهِ يَسْتَفِيدُ أُمُورًا كَثِيرًا. The Shaykh said, so whoever follows up knowledge with action, then indeed, if this is his condition, that he's going to follow up the knowledge with action, then he will benefit, yani, in many ways, which some of them will mention in what follows, the Shaykh says. Person will benefit in many ways. And here the Shaykh, he begins to mention some of the benefits of the one who follows up knowledge with action. Okay, the first of them, أول ذلك أن إتباع العلم بالعمل فيه إظهار نعمة الله عز وجل عليك وإظهار فضل الله سبحانه وتعالى عليك بأن خصك بهذا العلم دون أكثر الناس. يعني the first benefit of following up knowledge with ilm is that with amal is that it is a means of إظهار نعمة الله, يعني of displaying outwardly, revealing, showing the blessing of Allah upon you, showing the fadl, the favor of Allah upon you. Yani the person who follows up their knowledge with action, this is an open display, an outward display, a revealing of the favor and the bounty of Allah upon you, in that He has, yani, khassaka, yani, He has singled you out with this knowledge to the exclusion of most of the people. To the exclusion of most of the people. Naam. فَإِنَّ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ وَحَسَّنَهُ فَإِنَّ شُكْرَ نِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَى هَذَا الْعِلْمِ إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ بِإِظْهَارِ الْعَمَلِ وَبِالْحِرْصِ عَلَيْهِ وَبِمُجَاهَدَةِ النَّفْسِ عَلَيْهِ. Yani indeed, the one who learns and learns well, then verily the shukra ni'matillah, yani the gratitude, the expression of gratitude, appreciation, being thankful for the favor of Allah, for this knowledge, being thankful for the favor of Allah, this knowledge that He has given to you, it is manifested, yani the shukra is manifested not in words, Alhamdulillah, yani Alhamdulillah, yani person saying, yani thank you, I appreciate this. But rather the shukra, it is manifested in the outward, yani display, the outward performance, the outward acting upon that knowledge, yani through, yani one's deeds. The shukra, it is manifested by the person's hirs, yani diligence and eagerness in seeking to act upon that knowledge. And they're striving and struggling against their self, against their nafs, to act upon that knowledge. Yani, this is the manifestation of the shukra, of the ni'mah of Allah, when He gives a person ilm. Yani, it is manifested in what? In actions, and showing diligence in acting upon that knowledge, and striving against one's nafs, yani, to force it to act upon that knowledge. Some of us, we know, we have learned some things that are of great benefit, that are of tremendous benefit, and we find difficulty in acting upon them. For example, maybe there's no one here who doesn't have some idea. This is from me, the Shaykh is not saying this. Maybe there's no one here who doesn't have some idea of the fadl, the excellence, the superiority of the night prayer. Meaning getting up in the night while the people are sleeping and praying in the night. I think almost nobody, rather everybody here has some idea about the excellence of this prayer. But we might find difficulty in acting upon it. How many of us get up? Every night. Not once a year, just in Ramadan, now and then. Every night. The Prophet ﷺ used to get up in the night, every night. And he used to stand in prayer. For how long? How much? For one half of the night. Or two thirds of the night, or nearly the most of the night. Every night. Okay? We don't say that we're going to get up and pray in the night for 2 or 3 or 4 hours. But even pray 2 rak'ah, 4 rak'ah. The problem is what? It's not that we don't know. It's that we don't, yani, have the diligence, the same diligence in acting upon the knowledge that we have in seeking it. And there are many examples of this. And this example is an example to me that is crystal clear, that manifests to any one of us. And I'm not talking to anybody in particular, I'm just saying in general, that most of us will find that we have fallen short in this kind of affair. And we know the excellence of something, but too often we don't act upon it. Or we do it sometimes, on occasions, for certain, yani, seasons. Like in Ramadan, mashallah, we pray every night, Taraweeh. Every night, mashallah. And maybe the rest of the year, we don't pray any night. In Ramadan, mashallah, we read the Quran every single day. Maybe the entire juz every day. But the rest of the year, maybe we don't open the Quran. This is what the Shaykh is alluding to. Wallahu alam, yani, that the shukra of the ni'mah of Allah upon us in giving us knowledge is manifested in acting upon it. And al-hirs alayhi, bil-hirs alayhi, yani being diligent and eager to act upon it. And mujahadat al-nafs, yani forcing ourselves to act upon it. وَلِهَذَا يَقُولُ أَبُو كِلَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَرَحِيمُهُ اللَّهُ. He said, إِذَا أَحْدَثَ اللَّهُ لَكَ عِلْمًا فَأَحْدِثْ لَهُ عبادة لا يكون حمك أن تحدث به الناس. He said that if Allah caused you to attain knowledge, إذا أحدث الله لك علما, Allah caused you to attain knowledge, فأحدث له عبادة, then you should then, يعني, do some worship based upon that knowledge. And your concern, your greatest concern, should not be just to, yani, narrate it to the people. Yani, some of us, if we learn something new, we can't wait to find somebody to tell it to. Yani, it's good to share knowledge, but is that our greatest concern? Who can I find to tell this to? Who can I find to, yani, call and post on the internet or whatever? Yani some people post on the internet, I don't understand how. Yani every few minutes. I opened in the Facebook one time and I saw a brother, I didn't know him, but I knew of him. And I looked at his postings. It seemed like every 20 minutes, 25 minutes, half an hour, not an hour would go by except he's posting something of knowledge, mashallah. I mean real knowledge, hadith, ayahs from the Quran, but subhanallah. Yani how does a person find the time to be on the internet day and night? And that would be just wonderful if what we are posting every hour, we are acting upon it. But what if we're just posting it? And Abu Kilaba, rahimahullah, he said that, لَا يَكُونُ حَمُّكَ أَن تُحَدِّثْ بِهَا النَّاسِ. Our greatest concern should not just be to convey it to the people, to talk about it to the people. But rather, it should be that we, if Allah causes us to get some knowledge, we should act upon it. We should do some type of worship. Indeed, the believer, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors you with some knowledge that you didn't have before, then it is incumbent upon you to show gratitude for this favor of Allah by acting upon that particular knowledge, or by at least having an increase in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani do some acts of worship as a means of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving you this favor. So that at least your condition after this new knowledge that you attained will be that there is an increase in knowledge and as well an increase in action. For indeed, the gratitude for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is manifested in an increase in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is said concerning Abu Kilaba, it is said that he was from one of the noble imams, from the companions, yani from the students of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. And he was considered from the Ubbad, Zuhad, yani those people who were yani plentiful in worshipping and abstinence from the worldly affairs. And he was from the Ulama al-Amilin, yani the scholars who acted upon their knowledge. And he used to consider knowledge being weighty, heavy, meaning that he didn't take it lightly, as we say. Don't take it lightly, he considered it, yani kana yara al-ilm thaqeelan. He used to consider something weighty. It is narrated from him that if he had narrated 3 hadith, he would say, قَدْ أَكْثَرْتُ. Yani, I have already spoken too much. If he narrated 3 hadith. And it is said that he was from those whose dua was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Hibban mentioned him in his tiqat. So, yani, this is the first thing that the Shaykh mentions. Let me pay attention to this time. This is the first thing that the Shaykh mentions, yani, from the benefits that a person will attain or achieve by following up knowledge with action. Yani, their action will be a manifestation of the favor and the bounty of Allah upon them in that. Yani will be a manifestation of what is required of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving this knowledge. The second thing he said, ثانياً أن إتباع العلم بالعمل فيه الخشية الخشية من الله سبحانه وتعالى فيه الخشية وظهور إجلال الله سبحانه وتعالى. Yani that in following up knowledge with action is also, yani it contains a manifestation of the khashya of Allah, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and reverence, yani exaltation, veneration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, ijlalillah. Yani, the following up of knowledge with actions shows that a person has khashya of Allah, and that they, yani, it is a means of exaltation and yani reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person takes the knowledge seriously and acts upon it. فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمُ لَا يُرَادُ لِلْعِلْمِ فَحَسْبُ وَإِنَّمَا يُرَادُ لِخَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَلِخَوْفِ اللَّهِ وَلِمُرَاقَبَةِ اللَّهِ. For indeed, knowledge, what is intended by knowledge, is not knowledge for knowledge's sake. What is intended by it is to attain a state of khashya of Allah, yani of being in awe, in reverence, in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to His greatness and His glory and His magnificence. Yani what is intended by knowledge is that a person attain the khashya of Allah, the fear of Allah, and the consciousness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, observing, seeing, hearing all that we do. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ السَّلَفْ يَقُولُونَ. Yani here the Shaykh also mentions a statement which is attributed to Abdul ibn Mas'ud, and likewise it is attributed to others besides him. It is said that Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he used to say, "Laysa al-ilm an kathratul hadith." And Imam Malik rahimahullah used to say, "Inna al-ilm laysa bi kathrati ar-riwaya." Yani two similar sayings, yani the end result being the same. Yani Abdul ibn Mas'ud said, "Laysa al-ilm an kathratul hadith, ولكن العلم عن كثرة الخشية." Yani knowledge is not entailed in كثرة الحديث, yani in the person knowing a lot of hadith. ولكن real علم is manifested in كثرة خشية, yani in that a person has خشية of Allah. Yani this is the intent, not that learning hadith is not knowledge. Certainly it is knowledge. But what is intended here is the objective of the knowledge is to achieve the state of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not, yani, the objective of knowledge is not just to collect a lot of hadith, but rather the objective of knowledge is to achieve al-khashya. And it's also been reported, similar statement, as I mentioned, from Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he said, "Inna al-ilm laysa bi-kathratu al-riwaya, wa innama al-ilm nur yaj'aluhu Allah fil qalb." Yani that knowledge, or the purpose, the objective of knowledge, is not accumulating many narrations, al-riwaya, but rather, real ilm is nur, yani light, that Allah places in the heart. Some of the scholars said the meaning of this is that al-khashya la tudrak bi kathratu riwaya, that a person will not achieve khashya simply through, yani, acquiring a lot of narrations. They will not achieve khashya of Allah simply through accumulating a lot of narrations. Indeed, knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligatory upon us to seek, it is the Qur'an, the Kitab, and the Sunnah, and that which came from the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and that which came from the Imams of the Muslims who followed in their way. This type of knowledge, the knowledge of Qur'an and the Sunnah, and the sayings of the Imams, it is achieved by riwayah, and by riwayah only. It's not achieved by ijtihad, by guessing, or assuming, or thinking, or feeling. It's achieved, this knowledge, yani that Allah requires of us, it is achieved by riwayah, but what is intended here is the objective or the purpose of knowledge, and that is the nur, the light, which is the understanding of that knowledge and knowing the true meanings of that knowledge, such that a person reaches the level of khashya of Allah that, yani, comes from not just simply knowledge alone, but it comes from acting upon that knowledge. Now, here the Shaykh, he says, that which confirms this meaning, that real knowledge is manifested in the fear of Allah, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ العلماء. إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. So indeed it is the scholars who are the strongest of the people in having, yani, achieving the state of khashya of Allah, being in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret and in public. And for this reason, yani, the person who achieves this, the real knowledge, the khashya of Allah, the light that's in the heart, these people will be those who will fulfill that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligatory upon them. And they will also be diligent in performing those things which are the nawafil, yani, which are, yani, voluntary deeds, extra above and beyond the obligatory duties. And they will make every effort to avoid that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited, yani, avoiding them completely, avoiding that which Allah has prohibited completely. Meaning that the person who has khashya of Allah, that person will fear Allah in public and in private. That person will fulfill the obligatory duties. And as well, they will be diligent in seeking to perform those voluntary extra affairs, the supererogatory duties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged and recommended and praised, even if they are not obligatory. And they will avoid that which Allah has prohibited outright, completely. And this ayah from the Quran, I just want to mention any two statements concerning this saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, he says, وَكُلُّ مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْلَمْ كَانَ أَكْثَرُ لَهُ خَشْيَةً. Yani, the more that a person has knowledge of Allah, the more knowledgeable a person is of Allah, then the more they will have khashya of Allah. كُلُّ مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْلَمْ كَانَ أَكْثَرُ لَهُ خَشْيَةً. So it is the khashya, yani, is the result of knowledge if a person acts upon it. And this khashya, Shaykh says, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi says, necessitates for that person, yani the khashya of Allah necessitates for that person to abstain from committing sins and to prepare themselves for the meeting with the one that they fear. And this is also an evidence, yani, this ayat and its meaning is an evidence of the excellence of knowledge. For indeed it is knowledge that invites and calls a person to have khashya of Allah. Shaykh Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of this ayat, he says, yani, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, meaning, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَاهُ حَقَّ خَشْيَتِهِ الْعُلَمَاءَ الْعَارِفُونَ بِهِ لِأَنَّهُ كُلُّ مَا كَانَتْ الْمَعْرِفَةُ لِلْعَظِيمِ الْقَدِيرِ أَتَمُّ وَالْعِلْمُ بِهِ أَكْمَلُ كَانَتْ الْخَشْيَةُ لَهُ أَعْظَمُ وَأَكْثَرُ. Yani, the meaning of, indeed, those from amongst the servants of Allah who have khashya of Him are the scholars, the ulama. This means that indeed they are the ones who fear Him the way He deserves to be feared. That is, the scholars who know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is because the more a person has ma'arifah of Allah al-azim al-qadir, and the more, yani, they have knowledge, yani, being acquainted with Allah and knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more complete and perfect is their knowledge of Allah, then the greater and more will be their khashya of Allah. And here Ibn Kathir mentions the statement of Ibn Mas'ud, لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْحَدِيثِ وَلَكِنْ الْعِلْمُ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْخَشْيَةِ. And also the statement of Imam Malik, إِنَّ الْعِلْمُ لَيْسَ بِكَثْرَةِ الْرِوَايَةِ وَإِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ نُورٌ يَجْعَلُهُ اللَّهُ فِي الْقَلْبِ. Yani, that knowledge, yani, what is intended by knowledge is to achieve the khashya of Allah, yani, to achieve the light, yani, that there be a light in the person's heart that, yani, enables them and encourages them and, yani, forces them to do the things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the Shaykh, he mentions the saying of Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, And it is known that Hasan al-Basri is from the Imams of the Tabi'een, second generation of the Muslims. He said, "Himmatu al-ulama al-ri'aya, al-ri'aya, wa himmatu al-sufaha al-riwaya." Yani the himma, meaning the ambition or the enthusiasm of the scholars, of the real scholars, is al-ri'aya. Yani giving care and attention and full regard to the knowledge that they have, while the himma, the enthusiasm or the aspirations of the sufaha, the foolish, the stupid, the shameless ones, is ar-riwaya. Yani the scholars, their aspiration is ar-riwaya, to give care and to give attention and have regard for the knowledge, while the concern of the ignorant ones is merely to narrate, yani to speak, to show that they have collected, accumulated some information. Here the Shaykh says, وَهَذَا نَصٌ جَلِيٌّ مِنْ أَحَدْ أَئِمَّةِ السَّلَفِ عَلَى أَنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ حَقًّا هَمَّتُهُمْ تَدُورُ حَوْلَ رِعَايَةِ مَا رَوَى بِمَعْنَى الْعَمَلْ بِمَا رَوَى. This is the last statement that we're going to make for tonight. Before that though, I just want to say that, well, let me finish this first and then make the comment after, inshallah. And Al-Imam Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he said that the concern of the scholars is in giving care to the knowledge, while the concern of the ignorant, the foolish, is just in narrating it. The Shaykh, he says that this is a clear statement from one of the Imams of the Salaf, which proves that or points to the fact that the true scholars, al-ulama haqqan, and that their concern surrounds the showing care to that which they narrated, meaning acting upon what they narrated, acting upon what they conveyed or transmitted from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from his noble companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in. As far as the concern of the ignorant people, those who learn knowledge not so that they will worship Allah with it, on basira, yani la liya'budu Allah ta'ala bihi ala basira, yani one from the problems of the people is that they don't act, and from the problems of the people from another angle is that they don't act based upon knowledge. So the seeking of knowledge should be so that we can worship Allah based upon insight, based upon clarity, based upon knowledge. However, some people, which Al-Hasan al-Basri, he calls them the sufaha, the stupid, the ignorant, the foolish, the shameless people. He said that these people, they seek knowledge not so that they may worship Allah with knowledge, with light, not so that they will achieve the khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts, but rather it is merely so that they may narrate to the people, so that they may show that they have some knowledge. So these people, they narrate the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they recite the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Quran. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْمَلُونَ بِهَا. But they don't act upon it. And this is indeed something that we have to look to ourselves for. To what extent do we act upon the knowledge that we have? And I have said before, and I'll say it again, from two angles, that there's a group of people who tell people you shouldn't sit in the circles of knowledge. Rather, you should go out in the way of Allah and give da'wah and call people to Allah without knowledge. And some of them I heard with my own ears saying, if you get knowledge, you will be called to account for it. And we say, certainly you will be called to account for it. But if you don't get knowledge, you will be called to account for acting upon ignorance. These people, they seek, they narrate the ayat and the hadith of from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the Quran, but they don't act upon them. And these people, he said, are the furthest from acting upon the knowledge that they are conveying to the people. And for this reason, Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, said about them that they are sufaha. They are stupid. They are foolish. They are ignorant. لِأَنَّهُمْ سَفِهُ أَنفُسَهُمْ بِهَذَا الْعَمَلِ المقيت الذي اختصروا فيه على الرواية دون اتباعها بالعمل. يعني these people, he called them stupid, ignorant. It is because they have shown themselves to be such by this action, this detestable action in which they have limited themselves to narrating to the exclusion of following that knowledge with action. فَأَتَوْا بِالسَّبَبِ وَأَتَوْا بِالْوَسِيلَةِ وَتَرَكُوا الْغَايَةِ وَالْمَقْصَدِ. يعني they attained the sabab, the wasila, the means, the cause, but they left the يعني the goal, the objective. يعني they came with the thing that you need to achieve the goal, but then they didn't act upon it. So they had the means to achieve, but they didn't use it, so they never achieved the real objective, the goal of the knowledge. Two things before we close. I want to say that I want to give another example of yani our own condition. Perhaps some of us, it may be applicable to us. That we know, for example, because I'm about to remind everyone, don't forget the masjid, yani from the sadaqah, that the maintenance of the masjid is in need. We know the virtue of giving charity. We know the excellence of giving charity. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ said that charity does not decrease your wealth. Charity does not decrease your wealth. But how hesitant, how resistant we are sometimes to go into our pockets and give from what we have. Even though we know the truthfulness of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, that the sadaqah that you give in the way of Allah, it doesn't decrease your wealth. It does not decrease your wealth. So that knowledge must be acted upon. We must act like giving sadaqah for the sake of Allah does not decrease our wealth. Does not decrease our wealth. Rather, it is a means of increase. Another example is that, for example, the Prophet ﷺ came out to the people one day. And these examples are things that I want to say, yani to us as a group, as a body, to remind us, okay? So I'm using them as examples. The Prophet ﷺ came out to the people and said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ كُلُّكُم مُنَادٍ أَوْ مُنَاجٍ رَبَّهُ فَلَا يَجْهَرْ بَعْدُكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْدٍ بِالْقُرْآنِ أَوْ بِالْقِرَاءَةِ in some of the narrations. Hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi and others. The Prophet ﷺ came out to the people in the masjid, teaching us the adab of the masjid. And he said, all of you are calling upon your Rabb. So let not one of you raise his voice over another with the Qur'an or with the qira'ah, yani recitation of the Qur'an. Yani every one of you is calling upon your Rabb. A person is praying here and another one is reading Qur'an and another one is making dhikr or dua, and somebody feels no shame in coming in the midst of the people in the masjid and raising their voice unnecessarily. This is contrary to the adab of the masjid. When we came in the masjid, brothers and sisters, yani pay attention where you are. The masjid is a place of worship. People are calling upon their Rabb. And we disturb people with these conversations that have no place in the masjid, first of all, and certainly we don't need to be raising our voice with it. Yani the raising of the voice in the masjid should be for need or necessity. Yani the person who's giving the khutbah, the one who's leading the prayer, the person who is yani having a dars or something, as far as every individual raising their voice in the masjid, this is contrary to the adab of the masjid. And these are examples of things that we know, but where is our following the knowledge with action? Finally, I want to close by saying, the Shaykh Abdus Salam Ibn Burjis, Rahimahullah, he has written a lot of books. I have three books here that I want to bring to your attention of great yani benefit. They have been translated into English. The first of them is Al-Aqidah. Al-Mu'taqid al-Sahih, the correct creed that every Muslim must believe. The correct creed, Al-Mu'taqid al-Sahih, which the Shaykh talks about, yani Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat al-Rububiyyah and Uluhiyyah, and Iman, the issues of Iman, and so on. Very excellent book. Yani, whatever it costs, I don't know what it costs these days, but normally, yani in English they say that 10 pages is going to cost $1, so it's 140 pages, that's $14, it's worth more than that. The second book, also the foundations of the Salafi Dawah, Usul al-Dawah al-Salafiyah. Again, the Sheikh talks about the Usul, a lot of matters and issues that are of importance to us today. Yani from amongst them, he mentions the importance of seeking legislative knowledge, striving hard to implement the Islam, inviting people upon clarity, the importance of Aqidah of the Salaf in knowledge, in action, and in teaching, and so on. A lot of topics that he brings here that are of great importance that we can benefit from. And this book also, I don't know what the price of it is, but it's only 70 pages or less than 70 pages. So it can't be more than $7 or $8. It's definitely worth it. The Usul of the Dawah Salafiyah. And the third book, tremendous book that I only came across recently, Yani Awa'iq al-Talab, Yani Obstacles in the Path of Seeking Knowledge. Obstacles in the Path of Seeking Knowledge. Yani this is a suitable book for any one of us, if we can find it to read today. Yani from the obstacles of seeking knowledge, in the way of seeking knowledge, is seeking knowledge from other, seeking knowledge for other than the sake of Allah. Abandoning acting upon knowledge. Relying upon books rather than scholars. Not seeking knowledge gradually, and so on. And he mentions a number of points also. Yani obstacles in the path of seeking knowledge. These are only three books that yani different people, different publishing companies translated that are available. And this book is yani 110 pages, yani $11 or $12. All of these books, yani, are worth buying. If anybody can find them, I recommend that you purchase them. I'm just going to read the names one more time. Obstacles in the Path of Seeking Knowledge, The Foundations of the Salafi Dawah, and The Correct Creed that Every Muslim Must Believe. Okay, we're going to stop here. Next week, inshallah, we're going to continue with this discussion, this topic, with a few more points that the Sheikh mentions from the benefits of following up knowledge with action. He mentions a few more points, and then he gives some advices also. And we're going to follow up next week, and perhaps the third week, yani there will be two more Ramadans, inshallah, two more Jumu'ahs before Ramadan. And hopefully we'll complete this topic before the beginning of Ramadan.